I know I'm German and all that, but I just want to say I'm a big fan of. It's me, Mario. What is up, my friends, and welcome back to Uncensored. And guys, today I'm excited. We have one of the hottest young comedians in the building.
Facts.
And by hot, I mean sexually attractive, but also very, very successful right now. He's just been on The Late Late Show with James Corden. So give it up for the one and only Orion Levine.
Yes.
Hey.
Thank you, boys.
Oh, my God. I clapped for myself. That's embarrassing.
Hey, you got to do that. You got to do that in this town, you know? Orion Levine, that's... You know your name when I saw you, we did a show together.
Yeah.
And I heard your name and I was like, that sounds legit, like such an epic name. Is that your real name?
Yeah, it's my real name.
Or is it like your I was going to say porn star name because we had a porn star on last show.
Yeah, I'm following a porn star. It is my real name. I used to pronounce it Levine, Orion Levine, which a lot of people think is better.
It sounds... I mean,
it's a little more sing-songy, you know.
It sounds melodic. Epic, but also sounds a little more douchey.
Okay,
just talk about that, right?
Yeah.
Because my last name is technically it's Adrien.
Yeah.
Because it's a French last name.
But you go Adrien, or
I can't go like no. Adrien. It's Adrien. You know, it's a little douchey. So yeah.
So you say Adrien.
I mean, people say anything. They say Mario Adrien. I guess I'll take that.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Well, now you're giving me more confidence in my current last name choice.
Yeah. Wait, so it would actually be Levin?
It's not French. I feel like you're trying to make it sound French.
I don't know.
But I guess it's like, it's just a classic Jewish last name.
It's a Jewish last name?
Yeah, Levin would be the normal pronunciation.
Oh.
But then my grandpa, who was in show business, changed it to Levine because he wanted to sound less Jewy. You know,
it's so interesting.
Yeah. So, but then I changed it back because I was like, Jew is in now.
And I just want to let you know, I know I'm German and all that, but I just want to say I'm a big fan of
the Jews.
Of the Jews. Put that out of the way. Want to say this? I don't know if you know my fiance, also Jewish.
Yeah.
Okay. Her last name is Horowitz.
Oh, wow, nice. Okay, cool.
Now her name is also Adrien because she wanted to sound less Jewish I guess, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, big fan of Jewish people.
Cool.
Yeah.
We've officially squashed the beef.
You had to open
right here
this.
At Uncensored. We've ended. No, we have a lot of guilt as Germans. Yeah. I think it's a good way to start a podcast.
You can't even really like joke around about the Holocaust in Germany, right?
Not in Germany, no.
Yeah, they don't
it
like
is
that.
Very uncomfortable and it gets uncomfortable for us, especially because Americans don't care about it.
Because we're a little more like blasé about it.
Exactly. And we don't have the same, because people ask me all the time, Mari, did you learn about the Holocaust in school?
Yeah.
Yes, we did. That's basically all we learned about.
Yeah.
So it's on our minds so much,
right?
Which is good, right? But also other countries don't have the same sensitivity. Yeah. Like the UK, I remember I went to London with my school class.
Yeah.
And all the London, other kids in London, they'd just be like, oh, you're German.
They bring it up. Yeah.
And they just do the Hitler salute to us.
Yeah.
And it's just like, as a German, I mean, I was stand up a bit about this, but I cannot even lift up my right arm.
It's brutal.
You know, I can't fucking do it.
Yeah.
So, that's just a little awkward for us. Yeah.
Probably Americans feel that way about like slavery jokes. Like you don't hear a lot of like slavery jokes, except maybe like from like black people. But
sure,
like,
exactly. Yeah.
But here's
the difference.
It's poor taste.
The difference is that in Germany, even though we have so much guilt and we know so much about the Holocaust, every German will know every step of discrimination against Jewish people in the 30s.
Right.
But they don't know what a dreidel is.
Oh, interesting.
They don't know what Hanukkah is.
Yeah.
I didn't have any Jewish friends growing up.
Yeah.
For obvious reasons. It's almost like in America, you have a lot of guilt for slavery.
But we have black friends.
Exactly.
I have so many black friends.
Right.
They're not here today.
I can't do that. I can't be like, oh, I have a Jewish friend because I don't.
Yeah.
I mean, I do now. I just want to. You know,
hell yeah.
Let's be friends, man. I need a Jewish friend. I have Jewish. Adam Fink, shout out. My fiance.
Like
that's about it, but no. I'm kidding. I have a lot of Jewish friends.
Deep squashed.
Yeah.
I'm into it.
We officially did it, man.
How many Jewish models do you guys know? Are there Jewish models out there?
Good question, man.
There's got to be a few, right?
Well, it's not looking good, guys. It's not looking good. You know, there is. Isn't the guy who's on the Calvin Klein ad right now?
Okay.
Do you know this guy?
No, I'm not up to date.
Okay, so if you were a woman or a gay man, you would know about this. You're straight, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't mean that way. I mean, it's totally cool if you're gay and Jewish too. I don't have to discriminate. It came across a little more rough than it.
I can acknowledge a hot Jew if I see one.
Yeah, let me show you a hot Jew right here, because this is what this cop podcast is about. Jeremy Allen.
Okay.
Do you know this guy?
No, but he could be Jewish with his last name Allen.
Look at this dude.
Yeah, he's hot.
Like, he did a Kevin Klein campaign, and he's one of those people... Listen, I have a very strong gay audience too, so we got to talk about hot dudes for a little bit before we can get into comedy and all that, and the Holocaust. Because we start off a little hot with the Holocaust, all the guilt and shit, you know?
We could talk all hot.
I want to see if he has a belly button now.
Yeah, does he have a belly button?
I don't know.
Zoom in, I can't really see it.
There's no belly button there. There's literally no belly button.
I love that you zoomed into his crotch, too.
Okay.
It did that. I'm still struggling, straight, dude.
You need to scroll up.
Let me look for the belly button here. he does have a belly button, but yo, that shit's tiny.
It's weird,
I'm
going to
talk about the belly button soon.
Yes. Okay, it's like in the crevice of the thing.
I think he's, let me see if he's Jewish. How do you see if somebody's Jewish? I mean,
you could, there is literally a website, arethejewish.com, something like
for
that.
Real?
Oh yeah.
Are you serious?
If you typed in Jeremy Allen Jewish, it would tell you immediately.
Is Jeremy Allen Jewish? Fact check. This is not accurate. He's not Jewish
he's
heritage.
Not Jewish.
Fuck. I thought we had one.
He's appropriating.
God damn it.
He's Jew passing.
He is, man, for
that's
sure.
Enough. You know
claim
what's
him. Funny?
He's Jewish.
He's also like, you know, there's these guys who are very attractive somehow, but also kind of ugly.
Sure.
You know, he falls in that category.
Yeah.
Kind of like Owen Wilson. You know, Owen Wilson, he's just weird looking, but also kind of attractive.
Right. Or like Jesse Eisenberg, I think, is on that.
Is that a Jewish person?
He is, yeah.
Okay, I don't know who that is.
He's a social network guy. Or
Jeremy Eisenberg. Yeah. I know this is, I used to do subtle flex. I used to do modeling. Yes, you know, we might know. We talked about this. I just wanted you to know.
Do you not anymore?
No.
Interesting.
I'm retired. Wow. Oh, I know this guy. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And there's always these dudes who are a lot of these Scottish models. There's one dude specifically who killed it. He did every single campaign and he was known as the guy who's like, he kind of looks ugly.
Yeah.
Oh, kind of like the guy in Saltburn, the actor.
Right. Yes.
What's his name?
You can't decide if he's hot or not.
Right? The Saltburn actor too. He's got this, there's some people who just like, for modeling especially, you don't even have to look traditionally handsome.
Yeah, you have to look interesting.
You have to look interesting.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of dudes, just like this Allen dude, they just look interesting, I feel like, you know?
Yeah.
And have no belly button.
But they're good angles. Good angles. We could just, you look really attractive.
Yeah.
We could just turn around, face that way. Just your ass.
I love ass. That. Oh my God, it's hilarious. Well, but now we're on the topic. Like, can I ask you, you being Jewish, because I've never asked a Jewish person that question.
You just yell at them. You just yell statements.
I've never asked. I have asked them questions. Yeah. Don't put me in a fucking box here, okay?
Ask me anything.
How do you get educated about Germans on the flip side of it, right?
Interesting.
Is it like, are Germans, because we have so much guilt and we feel... You know, we have this special relationship. So I feel like, is it vice versa where you have a lot of, hate towards Germans?
No,
or?
I think we just learn about it through the lens of like World War II and then just like, you know, Angela Merkel. And like, I know that you guys feel guilty. And, but yeah, I don't think we don't, it's a good question. We don't really learn about like present day Germany as much.
No, I mean, that's also just an American thing. Americans don't learn about anything American.
Exactly,
I feel like, you know, even European stuff in general, like UK maybe, but not really.
Yeah. But I have I've never thought badly about present day Germany.
Okay.
You know?
I mean, your present day Germany, a different thing. Yeah.
And I almost moved to Frankfurt and I was into it when I was there.
Yeah. Because I had this very awkward moment I was at a friend's Thanksgiving party and I don't know if it's the aunt or the grandma, she was there. And, you know, I'm very open about the fact that I'm German.
Yeah.
I'm not like hiding it, you know?
Yeah.
I also have a little bit of an accent, you know?
Yeah.
So, I said that I was in Germany and I asked her, and I'd been thinking about it, but the family is Jewish, and I asked them, hey, have you ever been to Berlin? And she was like, no, I have not quite been able to forgive Germany.
Whoa.
And it was at Thanksgiving dinner.
Wow.
I'm sitting there. I'm like, I'm sorry.
That's crazy.
I don't know what to tell you. Like, I'm sorry.
Wow.
I felt like, well, Yeah. No, I felt that. I felt that. I was like, God damn.
Yeah, that's crazy. Wait, this was in America?
This was in America, yeah.
Okay, cool.
This was like 2 years ago.
She's forgiven America, though.
She's forgiven America. That's the thing.
Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah. I wonder, we got to check in with her. See what we got to do.
Yeah, because now, and I make this joke on whatever, but it's, I feel like now Germany truly is, there are probably less Nazis in Germany than in most other places in the world.
Probably most are here.
Probably. Yeah. Honestly, I'm fully, there's actually, so in Europe especially, there is now a lot of like a little bit of a right-wing movement coming because of the refugee crisis in Germany.
Oh, interesting.
So like if you look around Germany, like France,
yeah.
Huge right-wing party, Front National, which has
there's a lot of refugees.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They have a lot of problems, crime, a lot of issues in, you know, because with migration and obviously refugees, there come a lot of issues come
it's
with
chaotic,
that.
Yeah.
And it stokes a lot of hatred and, you know, there's definitely more right-wing parties in the rise. Sure. Whereas Germany is kind of, there are some parties coming up, but it's definitely a little, because we always have that, you know, we don't even allow very right-wing parties in the parliament's kind of banned, you know, so.
Because they're like, we've gone down this road before.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And I think that Germany's probably the least less, like the least likely country for something this to ever happen again.
Yeah.
I'm assuming, I don't want to fucking, you know, somebody's kind of cut back to this shit in like 30 years when Germany's going to invade the world for a third time.
Yeah, and it's you leading them.
Fuck. You know, I just prime people. I was like, no, everything's good. Yeah. You know, there's no, you know.
Well, you know, you guys were really ambitious with your goals in the past. And now you seem to chill out and I respect it.
We have chilled out. We're just making cars. Yeah.
Yeah.
Same with the whole, yeah.
If you deny the Holocaust in Germany, are you arrested?
I don't know if you're arrested. Yeah. I think there's still, so freedom of speech is definitely a thing that in America is like valued at a higher, there's definitely a higher value that Americans, but it's like, that's what America is built on. It's like freedom, right?
First Amendment.
Exactly. So in Germany, there is, with that, there are some restrictions for sure. So you cannot publicly, what's actually illegal is drawing swastika. Mm. Obviously, that's actually fully legal. You can't sell Nazi memorabilia. Yeah. That's obviously not a thing. You can't own Mein Kampf, you know, unless it's a museum or something or some institution to learn about it. Yeah. And you literally cannot do the Hitler salute. Like I make this joke on stage, but it comes from such a true place where I'm terrified. I have this joke where I say, I was taking a yoga class and I was doing a Warrior II pose.
Oh, yeah.
And then we're supposed to be a peaceful warrior. And I was like, 9999. So,
that's like how we are with the N word, I think.
Exactly.
Like every white American's afraid it's going to come out at some point.
Yeah. Has it happened for you yet?
No. I'm proud to say. Maybe this podcast will be my debut.
Hey, this is called Uncensored. I dare you. Uncensored.
Yeah, exactly. It'll be good for the numbers.
Am I in trouble if I make you say the N-word? Is it like kind of, you know?
I think I'll be more in trouble, but you will be. They will frown upon you.
Yeah. That's so funny. So I don't know if it's funny. It's actually not funny at all, but Germans, if I've been to a German club and
what do you mean a German club?
So a German, like what a music club, okay?
In Germany. Okay.
Okay. And they play music.
Okay. Just a nightclub in Germany. Nightclub.
Sorry, I should have
specified. No, it's fine.
That. Yeah. You try fucking hosting a podcast in a foreign language.
Sex club,
God damn it. Okay.
Sex club, day club.
German club. It's like a gang, like a techno gangbang club. What are we talking right now? It's a football club, soccer. Yeah. What is it? And I was at this club and, they would play songs. Like if you played the song Go Hard N-Word or Go Home, Germans will sing along.
Oh yeah.
Because
any non-American would.
Exactly.
Yeah. Because they don't have the same. Yeah, relationship to that word.
100%. And it's ignorance and it shouldn't be that way. But I'll be fully honest with you. When I first came here, I was 18 years old and I was visiting the US. I did not know that you couldn't say it.
Right.
Because, and this is going to maybe blow you guys' mind, but in Germany, we can, I won't say it now, but in German, you can say the word. You might have to, I can't even say it in German, but it's like, it's spelled N-E-G-E-R in German.
And so is that the word for black
that's
people?
That's the word for black people, but it doesn't have the same association.
Yeah.
It's not a slur.
Yeah.
It's just a term. It's like saying black people.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe now it's changed a little bit, but it was never, nobody would think about it in a negative way.
Yeah, of course.
So in Germany, there was actually a dessert and it's like a chocolate kiss. It had like Bizzy cream in it and it had a black covering.
Oh, God.
And we would call that.
Yeah. The N-word kiss.
Exactly. You know about this?
No, but I can imagine.
Yeah. It's called the N-word kiss. And when I was growing up, like when I was maybe, like, you know, like 8, 9, 10, when I was eating, like, you know, sweets and for kids, that was the normal thing. We just call it.
Yeah.
N-word kiss.
Oh, God.
And there is, there is a movie in Germany called, it's so fuck, I can't even say it. It's an actual movie title. I'm put it here. It's called N-word, Schornsteinfeger. And it rhymes with N-word. Schornsteinfeger means chimney sweep. So it is about, it is a story about a little boy who's black.
Yeah.
Who's in Germany or whatever. And he becomes the apprentice of a chimney sweeper who's also black. Cool. And also this like stood in the face.
Yeah.
And it's just a cute movie about a black kid. And there's we don't think about it in the same way.
Of course.
But if you tell somebody this, especially it's called N-word kiss, and you also, you technically eating the head, you know? So this it's a little problematic. So now they changed it since like BLM and all that. But
language is weird like that. But
education, just we grow up differently. We are,
of course.
Our guilt is fully focused on the Holocaust, rightfully so.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I don't want to brag, but like, Germany's not, you know, we've done a lot of fucked up shit, but we didn't really partake in slavery
the
same way.
It's true. It's true. Yeah.
I hope you feel good about yourself.
How's that going for you?
Well, if you guys did partake in slavery, you, at least in a few hundred years, you'd stop saying the N-word.
So. Exactly. Maybe about like,
pros,
you know,
and cons.
Yeah. No, Germans, we don't say the N-word. But we have a friend, like, we know, a friend, Teo, who's Australian, and he would just be here. And he, even on the, I think they were doing a podcast, he would just sing and he would just be like, what's up, Ma? N-word. And I was just like, hey, man, I know you're new to America. It's been for like a year and a half or so. And I was like, bro, I don't think, you know, you can't say that you're in America. As if you could say it anywhere else. But I was like, you can't say that you're in America. And he was like, oh no, it's fine if you say it in a nice way.
Oh God.
Yeah. And he meant that. I was like, you know, with your Australian accent, maybe you can get away with it, but I don't think so. He looks,
there's a little more leeway for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I can see how it could be confusing back in the day. So growing up in the South, all we listened to was hip hop, fucking hardcore rap. And so we would say it to each other like, what up?
Of course.
Bro? We thought it was cool because we thought these people were bad. You know,
that's
badass.
That's what confused us Germans. Never hear it in rock and rap songs all the time.
Totally. I mean, there's plenty of Americans who do that too.
Yeah. So. Maybe I'm just in a, you know, I'm in LA. I'm in a bubble. You know, I guess. But
yeah for sure. Yeah. It's not. Yeah, it's not in style in California.
It's not in style.
You know, Teo did an interview where he said that too, because he's like, "Hey, I'm 10% black or something."
Oh
he
God. Goes,
is it okay if I call you Ma? And it looked awkward.
It was on the
pod? My God. No, he didn't.
No, it was like, TikTok.
He asked a black guy about that?
Yeah, you could tell it was prepped or whatever.
Yeah. So, but he knows how to, he's so smart. He knows how to kind of, you know, he's like a content creator, has like millions of followers on TikTok. Yeah. He knows how to be a little provocative.
Of course.
To get a reaction.
Yeah.
You know, which to a certain extent is fine, but it's definitely, it's funny. Can Jewish people say the N-word? I'm asking, I'm German.
I'm sure in some jurisdictions for sure.
Oh my God. You know, my videographer is usually here. He moved to the Philippines. Shout out Riley. We miss you.
We miss you, Riley.
And
he seems great.
Yeah. He's a great guy. He is, he's a very white guy, but he, not that it matters for the story at all, but he went to a club in the Philippines.
Uh-huh.
And he said that he went to, like, I think it was a New Year's party at a club. And they were also playing Freaky Fridays, the song with Chris Brown and Lil Dicky.
Yeah.
You know, and there's one section because they switch roles.
Yeah.
You know, like Lil Dicky becomes a black guy. And then there's this there's this moment where they go like, what's up, my N-word? What's up, my N-word? Yeah. This goes out to all the, and then he goes like, N-word. And he was saying that all the Filipinos in the club, they're just like dancing and stuff. And all the Filipinos were just saying the N-word.
Yeah. Notoriously, they say the N-word.
Huh? Right.
I think just like Filipinos have a reputation for also saying the N-word.
Yeah. But no, these are Filipinos in the Philippines too, you know?
Okay.
He's
in
Manila in the Philippines at a club. And he said that he had one black friend who was also like towering over all these Filipinos.
Oh, God.
And Filipinos are so sweet and happy.
Yeah, the best.
And they're all just like, what's up, mate?
Yeah, that's so funny.
While this, I just picture, I mean, to me, it is like, it's kind of fucked up, but also it is one of the funniest visuals I have ever had. Like a 6'7" black dude towering over all these Filipinos who are just saying the N-word 12 times. Like, what do you do? You know? Yeah.
He's a celebrity in that moment.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Well, so now back to you though, because I feel like, you know, we've covered that.
We've covered the N-word.
I'm a big fan of Jewish people. So now back to you as our guest on Uncensored.
It's me.
So you are a comedian.
True.
And you're Jewish. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, what's been your journey? Like, I think Jewish people, right, are known to be very good comedians. Is there pressure? Has your family put pressure on you to pursue a career in comedy?
No, not at all. If anything, put pressure to not pursue
over here
comedy. I think, yeah, just from like it being like a risk, but I have like a Jewish showbiz family.
Oh yeah, okay.
So I have I'm related to actors, and I have a cousin, Sheldon Patinkin, who was an improviser, and he started Second City in Chicago, which
So that's where I started stand-up.
Oh, cool.
But in a Second City in Hollywood.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
So that's where I started.
He started that with some other people and like was on the original like crew. And my dad was an actor as a kid. And so in the sense that like I was around funny Jews.
Yeah.
Like I think that's where I got my sense of humor. But no one was a comedian or like. I guess Sheldon was, but he's like an improviser. So like, I mean, the precedent was there, but like no one was really like encouraging me to do that. And then I think like Jews also like to be financially secure. So
yeah, that's another side of it.
Yeah. So then there's that side of it, which is just like, I think my dad just wants me to like be able to support myself. And I think that was the only thing he was worried about.
How was that going for you?
I'm supporting myself.
Yeah. Fantastic. Yeah. What's your net worth currently?
You could probably Google that and it'll give you a better number than the numbers reality.
I Googled your fucking birthday and it showed me like he might have been born in 94, 95. We don't know. Yeah. We have no idea.
I like to keep that on the low.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
But no, I mean, I think, yeah, everyone in my family has a sense of humor and I think that they believe in me as a comic. So it's fine now for sure.
So how do you start? You're just like, I want to do this?
I started by a couple of friends of mine had like an artist space and then they started doing art shows there. And then I brought up the idea of doing like an open mic there just because I thought it would be fun and cool. And then we did that and I hosted the open mic and we kept doing that monthly. And then before long, it was like turned into this like crazy, like big party and it would just be packed and I'd be hosting and doing jokes the whole time.
This is in San Francisco?
This is in Oakland.
Okay.
And then I had comics started coming to the open mic and then they would invite me to their open mics or shows or whatever. So it just kind of snowballed from there.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. It was a cool start. For sure.
Yeah. Fuck it. And now comedy is like the main thing you do.
Yeah. It's my full-time thing for sure.
Good.
Yeah. It's dope.
I'm so blessed. Yeah.
I
don't know how the fuck I'm doing comedy because I have the opposite. I come from a German family.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you know much about Germany, but you're not so funny.
you're not really
funny.
Yeah.
You're quite serious. I come from a family of lumberjacks in Germany. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So my dad is actually a chimney sweeper.
Yeah.
Nobody does comedy. Nobody's ever done anything artistic in my family ever. I don't know how the fucking happened.
That's awesome.
You know, it's kind of weird.
You're a first generation artist.
I truly am.
Yeah, that's
seriously
great.
I don't know anybody in my family. You know what's funny? When I grew up, I watched some people on German television and I saw the comedians on there. They were not even doing stand-up. It's more like they were on a show and they were like a panel and doing some comedy. Sure. And I was like, oh, I could do that.
Okay.
Because I've always been very silly.
Yeah.
But there is no example around me of doing anything other than being a German engineer.
Yeah, totally.
So based on that, I didn't even know it was an option to be a comedian.
Did you want to be an engineer?
I did like school and chemistry, so I did pursue a career in that. I studied chemical engineering.
Nice.
But it just, nice, yeah. I know. And I liked it, but it was just like, I was always so silly and I always had this, like I started fitness and stuff and then I started making videos about fitness and I started a YouTube channel. That's how I started the whole creative journey.
Okay, cool.
I always had this impulse, but it's so funny when you have, I wonder what would have happened if I had been exposed to the possibility of, you know, doing anything outside the box. Because in Germany, it's quite clear what you're doing. It's not like America. America is much more, like, people have more ambitions.
Yeah,
to
choose your own destiny.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Germany, making it in America is kind of like this idea of, you know, starting your own business, being an entrepreneur. That's much it's valued higher than, you know, being employed or something. In Germany, being a manager for BMW, that's fucking, you made it,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Less people have this, ambition to. Yeah, people don't idolize Steve Jobs in Germany or Bill Gates or these,
like innovators,
you know,
and stuff.
Innovators, not yeah. really. Entrepreneurs, yeah, yeah. entrepreneurship in general is not as just, it's not the same. Same with yeah. artists, yeah.
I mean, and I think like America is great for that, like we encourage like the creativity and like the entrepreneurship, and then but then like we really lack like our like community support, and like that's why we have shitty healthcare, and like it's like every man for himself here.
Yeah,
and that's great for innovation because you get like really cool for individuals, sure. but then like, yeah, the community suffers, I think. But
100%, that's what I'm telling you right now. Like when we walked outside, it's kind of like a symptom of that. I told you like how somebody broke into somebody's car yeah. here. And if you go block that way on Sycamore,
yeah.
it's like this dope street that built this high-end gym that's like, you know, $350 a month. And they have these furniture stores where yeah. you can buy a chair for $50,000. Totally. No totally. Joke. And then a block down, you have tents
yeah,
with
crazy.
Homeless people. It's just insane. So, and I have this conversation with Jeff a lot, but I feel like you always, there's nothing is perfect, right? I feel like if you want to do something, like you want to be an entrepreneur, you want to do entertainment, there's no place like America
yeah.
to make shit happen for yourself.
Totally.
That's the American dream, right? And it's true. I mean, yeah. it's way easier, or there's more opportunities here.
Yeah. And there's a lot of room for failure. And
exactly. But you can also fall. You can fly high, but you can also fall. Whereas in Germany, it's kind of like harder to do your own thing. There's more restrictions to make, you know, right. have your own company. But yo, if I was just working, say I want to study, I want to become a doctor, an engineer, whatever it is, I would 1000% want to live in Europe because education is free. It is kind of safer. It's more stable. You have a great quality of life.
Yeah.
Great quality of everything. It's very safe. And you have a very, just, you have a lot of stability, you know?
Totally.
Whereas, but if you want to do anything outside the box, Germany's not the place.
Yeah, 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 yeah. It's fun to take risks here, but yeah, they're risks and
yeah.
a lot of people get fucked over.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's fun. It's exciting.
Yeah. So how do you make money with comedy right now? You see your own shows? You headline and stuff?
Yeah, I'm headlining, and then there's some club work around town that pays decent. And yeah, some months are better than others. Like I'm not really saving that much money at the moment, but yeah. I mean, like I'm living off of it. So
and
like,
you're also building something. I think you know, really yeah, growing yeah, yeah. and stuff.
And yeah. I don't know. I've never had like real money before, so like I'm kind of okay in this space of just like, you know, sometimes breaking even, sometimes yeah. making a little money.
We just talked about this in the last podcast with the porn star.
Yeah.
Which is, it's a fun shift. You know, last podcast we talked about like, you know, how he was faking cum shots, and now here we are talking about.
Oh, really? God, I'm excited to hear this.
National.
I'm going to listen to the episode.
In case if it ever comes in handy for your career, you know, I can tell you. No, it was very insightful in a different way. No, but he was talking about how money is a motivating thing for him.
Yeah.
But I realized that the moments I was most happy is when I was in line with my purpose.
Right.
Right. You're doing what you love, which is stand up. You're building. Even if you break, even if I lose, like I'm losing money right now with stand up because I'm traveling to New York every month, but I'm building something I love.
Of course, of course.
Which is amazing.
Yeah. You know? And I mean, my brother is kind of like the opposite of me. And like, he went a very like academic route. Like he did great in school and now he has a job that pays him very well. But like, I think there's a part of him that's like, sees that I'm doing something creative and like that I'm really passionate about. And like, I don't have the same money as him, but he's like, what you're doing is sick. And like,
well, yet, but I think comedy can also at some point, I mean, it's kind of
like, going to pay off for sure. It better.
No, I think how long have you been doing it?
Like 6 years.
6 years. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah. No,
he looks good. Look at my man's hairline.
Oh,
have you ever seen a stronger hairline?
I have a great hairline. I could lose a centimeter and then have a normal.
Actually, that's actually crazy. This is
the first thing I noticed.
He mentions hairlines a lot, actually, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's all on our minds, you know, because we could go at any moment. But I have a three head. Have you ever seen a three head? Look at that.
What do you mean?
So people say forehead is like four fingers. And if you have a five head,
is it called
forehead
because you can put four fingers there?
It's not. It's a coincidence.
But, oh, my God. I was like, you're about to blow my mind but then right like now. I would have believed you. I would have believed you.
A very immature American.
Same with foreskin because it's 4 inches of foreskin. skin.
Yeah, well, that's crazy for you.
I lost mine too. I wanted to relate more to Jewish people, so I got circumcised. Yeah, true story, when I was crazy. 19.
It's like, oh my God, it's dangling. But yeah, that's a very common insult. Like, kids will call you a five head. If you have a big forehead, you have a five head.
God damn, but that happened to me.
I have a three head.
A three head. Drake
hairline. I have a forehead.
Yeah, you have a forehead.
Oh, thank God. Forehead. You may make me feel very self-conscious.
So become me a five head. Dude. I immediately Rogaine and Propecia.
Yeah. It's over. Fucking go to Turkey, dude. We're going there.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. Now with hair loss, I know it's always a manners, you know, it's definitely something manner. I think if you say the things men are most scared of, it is definitely, you know.
Hair loss is up there for sure.
What men are scared of, it is definitely, yeah. Yeah, hair loss.
Those surgeries are getting good.
I've seen people.
I think so.
Dude, yeah, they seem good.
I've seen people who they had a hair transplant and it looks incredible.
Yeah,
and they were literally balding, and I was like, dude, your forehead looks fire, and it cost them like $3,000. I'm like, I'm not too worried about it, honestly.
Yeah,
like,
we could always do that.
I'm not too worried about it.
If things ever go south, no, I'm not fucking worried about it. Until Jeff brought it up every other podcast. You know,
it's the first thing I look for with our guests.
You know, I lived here in innocence. I lived a good life, you know, not worried about anything.
Did you guys ever book balding guests? Or is that a requirement on here?
I don't think we've ever had a bald. We don't know. Yeah. Maybe it's a subconscious thing. We just don't.
Or you just, you censor it.
No, we also here's the thing. I'm going to be honest with you. So, you know, I started modeling. So a lot of my audience comes from modeling.
Sure.
So they, you know, it's that. It's a lot of gay men. So like kind of doing the gap right now between, you know, I'm trying to get comedians on the show, but also some that are like hot, you know?
Okay.
So
yeah.
You made the cut. You know, I'm just saying. I mean, why you here,
so
man.
So I should be honest.
We saw the 3-inch forehead.
Am I going to get some,
fucking, you know? Yeah.
I want some gay followers out of this podcast.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Who's the people who come to your shows usually? Is it women?
I did a set for OnlyFans because
I'm doing it next week. In 2 weeks.
I was actually going to suggest you do it because you would do great.
Yeah.
But
I also have OnlyFans.
Okay. You're perfect for it.
Yeah.
So once my set dropped on OnlyFans, then I got a lot of gay men on my OnlyFans.
Interesting. So you have a comedy OnlyFans now. So I'm always wondering how that works because I have an OnlyFans. I just have modeling photos on there.
Sure.
You know, because I'm posting, my Instagram is pretty like, I post the occasional speedo photo for fun. Yeah,
but you want a place to put those. That's not your.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Also, I've had so many issues with censorship. And if you post anything that's like underwear, I've had stuff taken down.
Yeah, sure.
Just because I have a little bit of a bulge, you know. Yeah. Fucking they're discriminating against people with big hogs. Just not me, it's tough out there, man. Nobody talks about the struggle, dude.
The hog struggle.
The hog struggle. You know?
I know about
that. Finally, somebody understands. You know?
I've been struggling to get a hog for a long time.
So OnlyFans now, because from what I've understand, they're putting a lot of money into these shows, right?
Crazy amount of money.
It's insane.
Yeah.
So they're taking the money that is generated from hot girls. And they're putting it, and they're redistributing it to comedians. I fucking love it.
Yeah, no, it's great. I'll take it. And I think they're kind of trying to rebrand a little bit, but I don't really think it's working.
I always wonder why, because OnlyFans, like, never change a running system.
They make so much.
Crushing it.
Crushing it, exactly.
Everybody knows OnlyFans. It became one of the most known brands in the world, I'm assuming. Most known platforms. Honestly, I think OnlyFans probably, I would guess, one of the top 20 social media platforms in the world.
Totally.
You know?
And it's a cultural, like, it's like a punchline. People say OnlyFans all the time. It's like a joke or whatever. But I'm on OnlyFans. I just post, like, I treat it like how Instagram was before you could post videos. Like, I just take pictures and put it up for my day and stuff. And I have fun with it.
So they produced a comedy show, because I'm about to do it. They just confirmed me in February.
Cool.
And I don't know exactly. Is that Ice House? Was it there?
It was. Mine was, yeah.
Okay.
It's really fun. It's a great club.
I love that. I've done the club before, So they produce the show. They pay the comedians.
Mm-hmm.
But they require you to have an OnlyFans. So they made you make one?
They made me post they made me make an OnlyFans. And then you have to do a certain amount of posts a week. And you can just schedule your posts. I mean, you know how it works. And,
I already have.
Yeah, three posts a week. And then like a couple mass DMs a month. And then like some live streams or whatever.
So those are the requirements?
Something like that,
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they're not too strict on it, I don't think.
Yeah.
But half of, or like a third of your payment is like deferred for like 6 months. Make sure that you do that. So,
wow.
Yeah, I'm on OnlyFans.
You're an OnlyFans girl now. OnlyFans. Here we fucking go, you know?
I'm happy to
here
be
you
there.
You go, saying that he's a comedian. There, he's an OnlyFans.
I'm happy to be there.
I saw top 10 worst professions to date. Number one, OnlyFans.
Really?
For real?
You saw that?
I don't. Interesting. Do you think so? Number one?
I dated
one?
An OnlyFans
someone
girl.
Sent it to me.
Yeah.
Well, actually, no, that's not true. We broke up and then she started OnlyFans. But right now, I think I'd be fine broke with
up.
It.
She signed up the day you broke
more
up.
More or less, yeah.
Yeah. Would you have a problem with that if your partner didn't have an OnlyFans?
I don't think I would have a problem with that.
I mean,
that.
It would be hypocritical because you have one. But like, right. If she did like sexually explicit things on there.
I think there is something to be said about like starting they already have a pre-existing OnlyFans. I think it'd be kind of hard if you were dating someone and then it's like, hey, I want to start doing this thing. Because then you have to like, it's not what you signed up for, I guess. But
got
like,
it. Got it.
I think if you start a relationship with someone who's like a sex worker, then that's just their job and you accept that about them.
Yeah.
But I like to think that I'd be fine with it, but I haven't really been confronted with it that much.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean.
I was dating a woman who wanted like a sugar daddy because I'm not that. And if you subscribe to my OnlyFans that might change, but
exactly the circle.
And I think I was a little uncomfortable with that just because like
so she wanted the sugar daddy as you were dating her at the same time.
Yes. Okay. And like not in a sexual way necessarily, even though I think it would have been sexual for that guy even if they weren't being sexual with each other explicitly, but like I think it is like a horny thing for them.
Yeah, there's a line, right? I feel like I have been on the other side of things where when I was modeling, I'll be honest with you, like I had people, it's not a sugar daddy, but I was so broke, man. Like when I was modeling, I was so broke. I was, you know,
I believe it.
I was in a model apartment. I would bring cans of beans to my castings because I didn't want to eat out in New York. Wow. It was really bad, you know?
It's horrible.
So, I mean, still, but I was happy. That's what I'm saying. I loved it because I had a new experience every day. I was in New York. I was modeling. I was meeting new people. I was very happy. But
would you also bring a can opener?
I'm not kidding you, man.
Have I got a can opener?
No. Dude, people might. I did the weirdest shit. Please shut the. We're trying to film a podcast here. I don't think you can even hear it on a mic, but it's actually kind of embarrassing. So I was obsessed with my diet. Because as a model, my jobs and my financial stability depended on me having at least 9 abs. You know what I mean? Like once I lost one, I was like, I'm not going to get the job anymore. So there's a pressure to eat well.
Yeah.
But eating well in America is fucking expensive. Mm-hmm. There's a statistic. It's fucking crazy. In Germany, like in America, you see like the cost of like a hamburger and it's like whatever, $1.69.
Yeah.
I don't count that number, but like something under sub $2.
Yeah.
And then like a broccoli is like $5. Yeah, what the fuck? Crazy. You know,
it's wild.
You're encouraged to eat like shitty foods.
Really?
So I would just bring, because beans were very nutritious. They're basically fat free, low in calories. And I would just bring canned beans and cans of tuna.
Wow.
And I remember sometimes going to a restaurant with some people in the fashion industry who had way more money than me.
Yeah, yeah.
And I couldn't afford anything. And I also didn't want to eat shitty food. So I would literally go to the bathroom with a can of tuna and a can of beans.
Wow.
And I would eat the can of beans on the toilet. Wow. And then I would come sit down and not order dinner.
Wow.
So yeah, it was a...
That's crazy. Yeah. That's the grind right there.
That's the grind right there, man.
I respect it.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. And also this is going to... I don't want to make it sound too sad because there's some people who, you know, we have some refugees in that. You know, I was saying like, this definitely... We're good. Yeah.
There's someone eating a can of tuna watching this pod like...
I don't want to make it sound like I had the worst fucking life. You know, I was still...
Yeah.
And then I went to the job for like fucking Bloomingdale's and they gave me like, you know...
Right.
Fucking purple sweet potatoes, which I didn't know existed.
Yeah.
So
my girlfriend's a model, so I kind of can relate to some of the stuff you guys are saying.
Like that.
And like, it is a flex.
So she's like a model, model, like not only fans model, saying like fashion model type.
Yeah. I guess commercial model. I don't really know.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, LA is more of commercial market.
Yeah.
There's not really like a high fashion.
Yeah.
Market.
But I mean, the same thing. Like, she's always worried about like her figure or whatever.
Oh
like,
man, for women it's even worse.
Yeah.
I mean, definitely. I struggled with it already. I can only imagine how women feel like
definitely.
It. Even women that are not modeling.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Like women, it's like societal norms for women is just harder, you know?
Yeah.
Because you're funny, you're gonna be rich soon, all this stuff, you know. Women
maybe it's easing though. I saw a picture the other day of a
Oh, you're right, yeah.
A what was it? Not a big and tall model, but a
BBW.
It was just
plus size.
A plus size.
Plus size model.
Yo,
BBW is like not the term. No. like,
yo, a plus size wait, model wait, in the 90s.
Oh, really?
It's a normal.
It's like a thin like woman.
Almost slim.
Really?
Oh, yeah. No, it's crazy. No, it's like, definitely changed a lot.
Holy
yeah.
shit.
Yeah.
Now we got some big girls out there.
Yeah.
I mean, have you seen Victoria's Secret?
Yeah, they did the big girl campaign.
They did the, I mean, the whole brand, they stopped the fashion shows because there's, I mean, Victoria's Secret used to be notorious for, I dated a model, also Settle Flex. You're not the only fucking like one, right? I dated a model in New York, okay? And she was not only a commercial one. She was a fucking.
Yeah.
No, she had a lot of castings for Victoria's Secret. And she's fucking beautiful. And she, I mean, she was so thin, but she told me if I want to go for Victoria's Secret, this was like back in 2015 or 16 or something. And before the big rebrand of body positivity, dude, Victoria's Secret was like, you can have no body fat. Wow. They almost had like abs. It was, you know, if you look, put some picture, Riley, of like, or whatever runway videos, and you'd see the campaigns now. I mean, you know, I wish I had an assistant on this podcast, but we're going to do this. I now talked to some models that were like really beautiful models and they did castings for Victoria's Secret. So I just had a seizure right there. And Victoria's Secret. And they didn't get it because they were too thin. They said, no, you have to look relatable. So this is basically, this was the last.
Changed.
This is the last runway campaign, you know? They just look like normal girls.
Oh, yeah, there we go.
They have like imperfections. They have curves.
Yeah.
And I hate it. I hate everything about it. You know, I think this is, no, it's, I think it's good. I see both sides of it. It's a little, this is the Victoria's Secret. Well, this would have never happened, by the way, this in an, I mean, no fucking way this would happen in the early 2000s.
That would be a huge controversy.
Yeah. And I think this is fine because this is natural bodies.
I have a question for you since you said you dated a model because I'm a comic. I don't like dating comics. Did you have that same feeling towards like dating models?
Well, a little bit just because she was, I mean, honestly, it was fine because we didn't have, there was no overlap.
Right.
Because she's a female model and I'm a male model. There's not really any, you know, usually male models, the campaigns usually, I mean, sometimes there's a crossover. But not really. So it was never that you, because I can imagine if you did a comic, you know, you had the same things, same clubs.
And you guys are in the same areas all the
time. If you break up,
then you're.
I know comedy couples that have broken up and it's fucking awkward. It's like, okay,
they're still coworkers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, no, but the thing, she was just like infinitely more wealthy and infinitely more successful than me.
Yeah.
Like I was moderately successful as a model.
She was popping off.
No, she was, I mean, she legit did like. I mean, she did campaigns. She made like, you know, $35,000-$40,000 for a campaign. Yeah.
That's awesome.
She was killing it. And I was not that. You know, I was eating cans of tuna in a fucking bathroom.
Black beans. Y'all got like, a can opener?
Yeah.
What about you, Jeff? Were you dating models?
I was going to say, I think, because I dated models and influencers in the past, and I think we kind of unknowingly set ourselves up for failure.
When that, you do that?
We're limiting who we're with. And it seems like a good idea because you both have same... you know, aspirations, goals. And it just like, when I dated Caro, we popped off, we created a lot of good
Instagram
content.
Model.
She's a model.
And now she hates me.
Big influencer.
Really?
Yeah. I don't like dating models or influencers.
Yeah.
I want the exact opposite.
Yeah. Yeah. I like having somebody who's different, like as different as possible.
Different. I love my fiance. Shout out to my fiance.
Jewish, by the way.
Jewish fiance.
What does she do?
Love her. Jewish.
Okay, she just does Jewish. Respect.
He's Jewish.
Huge respect. That's a full-time gig for sure.
She's also the least Jewish Jew. Because her last name is Horowitz. Not anymore. No, Adrian, I guess. But no, she is... she's not very... Her last name is Jewish, but she's not very practicing or anything. But she is a fashion stylist.
Okay, cool.
So she is
not a similar enough.
Comedian. Yeah. Exactly. But she knows the world of entertainment.
Right.
And it's amazing because I get her world because I used to be a fashion model.
Yeah, yeah.
So I know everything about styling. I've actually hooked her up with some people, you know, that she now works with.
Yeah.
Again, killing it. She just styled Killian Murphy for the Golden Globes. She works with, you know, assistant styling right now. It's amazing. I mean, it's really cool to see that. And I get her world. She gets mine.
Yeah.
But it's different enough to where there's no direct competition or it's not weird, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel that way with Gabby too because she's like in the entertainment industry in some way. And then also our hours just line up really well together because she's like free most days and I'm free during the day, every day, you know?
Yeah.
So like we get to hang out a lot and it's
not for me,
like,
it's the opposite. Cause she's working, but I'm German. I work all the time.
Yeah.
I never
Your work ethic does seem crazy.
Yeah. How do you know?
Well, I mean, you guys did two pods today, and that's more than I've done all month. So it's like,
No, we're
I respect it.
What do you talk about in your open mic stuff?
Yeah, when was your last open mic?
Well, this guy inspires me in a lot of ways. So I went up. I was talking about when I moved to LA, I expected beautiful sunshine, but I just got a lot of homeless people attacking me.
Yeah.
And the first one, I really got a nice response. And the second one, I didn't really, but it was such a good learning experience. You know, they all,
but didn't you talk about modeling?
Yeah. I talked about modeling in the second one. I don't think it was
they
relatable.
Love that.
You know, like I give the punchline and it was like crickets. So I was like, all right, I'm Jeff Gass.
I mean, comics don't like, it's just 0% relatable.
Yeah.
But there's something,
it is hard to be a hot comic, I will say. It's an uphill battle.
Problems, big hot hog. Guy problems. Guys, I just want to, thanks for raising awareness, dude.
The hot hog.
I don't know. I see what you mean. And I get it in terms of the comedy, like comedians maybe in the industry, right? And your peers. But I still think it's an advantage. There's pretty privileged.
Definitely. Especially now that social media, because like that's how you get like, people are instantly interested if you're attractive.
I mean, 100%. People always bring up Matt Rife.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, dude, he's amazing. Strawberry's amazing, very funny and in the moment and witty. I mean, the fact that he's hot, though,
it helps
fucking multiply that shit.
Yeah,
you know, it's just what it is. I think
I take it back. Yeah. It's easy to be a hot comic.
No, I don't want to be up here. Because it's true. You just suck, Jeff.
Y'all didn't get it. What's your problem?
Hello? Failed, even though you have a jawline. What the fuck, dude? No, it's sometimes hard talking about the unrelatable stuff. I was always afraid because I got some horrible comedy advice in the beginning too. I mean, I'm sure you know who it is. I don't want to fuck start more beef, but whatever.
Say it and we'll bleep it out.
So they were like, give me advice. One of my sets, you know, I did like an audition there. Like they gave me a spot and stuff. And they were like, hey, we like your set, but Mario, you got to dress down. You know, you can't be wearing, you got to wear sweatpants. You can't be too attractive out there.
Weird, yeah.
And I was like, you want me to hide these tits? You want me to like, you know, and I get it to a certain extent, but then I took that advice as a young comic. I was like, okay, I got to like blend in with all the other comics. And then I lost what's authentic about me because I'm a douchebag. I look like a douche. I look like a European dude model. Now I think that's, the more I lean into that, the more I connect, I think. And I acknowledge, I talk about modeling, it's not really relatable, but I talk about the rejection in modeling, which is universally relatable thing. So it's really, it's been some horrible advice, you know, like trying to fit in and
reduce. That advice is don't be yourself, which is like literally the only rule, you know, like, and I think as hard as it might be to be relatable when you're like, you know, like 6'4",
6'7",
big hog and, but like if you're yourself unapologetically, like that's great. That's what people want.
That's right. So people, take that home. Be yourself.
Be yourself.
Okay? And
keep
always remember.
Gay.
Keep being gay. Exactly.
Just guessing.
We love gay people. We love Jewish people. Thanks so much for coming on, dude. I appreciate you. What's your handle again? Orion.
Oh my God.
Just at Orion.Levine.
Orion.Levine.
Yeah. On everything.
Love this guy.
I'm on OnlyFans too. Follow me. It's free. Yeah.
Check out his OnlyFans.
Fuck, you see that hairline up close.
Yes, dude.
You can see that. You can see fucking micro shots of the hairline.
Same upstairs and downstairs.
Yes. Thank you, guys.
Jeff always makes it fucking inappropriate. But I love it. I love it. Guys, new episode every Wednesday. We fucking love you. Stand centerpiece.
All right, guys. Thank you. Thanks.